here's a story from The World.
Cyprus, the island nation in the Mediterranean, for decades it's been divided along ethnic lines. Since the 1970s, UN forces there have watched over the two sides, Turkish Cypriots and their government on the north side of the island, and Greek Cypriots with a separate government in the south. Only the Greek side is recognized internationally. In Geneva today, the UN is hosting talks about the future of Cyprus. Previous efforts to reunify the island have failed. And as the world's Lydia Manalidou reports, many Cypriots don't have high hopes for this round of talks either.
By the time Ipek Bourman was born in the late 70s, Cyprus was already divided. Bourman grew up in the north with other Turkish Cypriots. At school, her teachers and textbooks taught her that
Greek Cypriots were bad and how they were the others.
At home, her parents would tell her stories about what things were like before, when Greek and Turkish Cypriots were living in the same neighborhoods. She says their stories were full of pain, but also nostalgia.
You hear from your parents many stories, you know, some good memories with the Greek Cypriots, some bad memories with the Greek Cypriots.
Bourman's parents grew up in the 50s, when Cyprus was a British colony.
Cyprus, ruled by Britain for nearly 80 years, but overwhelmingly Greek in population, hits the headlines again.
In the 50s, Greek Cypriot nationalists launched a guerrilla war against their British colonizers. They wanted to make Cyprus part of Greece, which meant they went after their Turkish Cypriot neighbors as well.
And Turkish Cypriots were frightened of their lives, but at the same time, their Greek neighbors were, you know, sheltering them at their homes.
Fighting only intensified after Cyprus got its independence. A power-sharing agreement between Greek and Turkish Cypriots quickly fell apart. In the 70s, Turkey intervened, sending troops to Cyprus to prevent Greece from staging a coup. Turkish troops occupied about a third of the island in the north and eventually declared a breakaway state. Turkish Cypriots fled there and Greek Cypriots to the south. Bourman says people became refugees on their own island and many couldn't return to their family homes.
My mother does not have a single picture from her childhood because all of their belongings, you know, stayed there. And it's the same for my father as well.
When Bourman was growing up, people were still not allowed to cross the dividing line that separates the two sides.
So I never get to know any Greek Cypriot, or I never got to cross to the other side until 2003.
That's when authorities started easing restrictions and opening checkpoints along the dividing line. When Bourman traveled to the south for the first time, she realized that what she learned about Greek Cypriots wasn't true. And she dedicated her career to reunifying the island. She represented Turkish Cypriots in several rounds of talks. The latest was in 2015.
There was this expectation, hope, that we can really achieve a solution. I mean, we really believed in that. And we had high hopes.
But negotiations collapsed in 2017 because the two sides could not agree on what should happen to the Turkish troops stationed on the island. The informal talks that begin today in Geneva are the first attempt since then to address the so-called Cyprus problem.
I don't think anyone following the process can claim to be optimistic.
Andromachis Sofokleos is a Greek Cypriot and an activist with the organization Unite Cyprus Now. She says people on the ground are losing hope the situation will change, but she says it needs to. She points to the fact that authorities closed the crossing points at the beginning of the pandemic.
And this basically made it clear how unstable things are and how nothing can be taken for granted. And unless the Cyprus problem is solved, at any point we could lose access to half of our island again.
She says having two separate governments on the island isn't working either. On the Greek Cypriot side, she says there's rampant government corruption because a proper system of checks and balances was never set up when the two sides split.
At the same time, you have the Turkish Cypriots. They have no international recognition. They are absolutely reliant on Turkey.
Reliant on Turkey to advocate for their interests, because Turkey is the only country that recognizes the Turkish Cypriot state and government. Sertac Sonan is a Turkish Cypriot and a political scientist at the Cyprus International University. He says he's worried about Turkey's increasing influence.
It used to be more subtle. Now it's very clear, very explicit.
For example, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan recently issued a threat to Northern Cyprus over a court decision he didn't like. And in the fall, you had Northern Cyprus's incumbent president narrowly losing an election to an Erdogan-backed candidate.
Losing, quote unquote.
Sonan and others believe Erdogan's campaigning for his pick influenced the results. He says even the perception of interference at this level crosses a line for many Turkish Cypriots, and that it can only be stopped if all sides agree on a solution. Will that happen at the talks that start today?
I hope I'll be pleasantly surprised by the results, but there is no good sign in that direction.
İpek Borman, who represented Turkish Cypriots in previous talks, agrees. She won't be involved this time around. She quit the team after that election in the fall because the new president of Northern Cyprus, the one Erdogan backed, is against reunification. Other people resigned too.
Because we believed in what we were doing.
And she says she still believes that the best thing for her small island's future is to bring Greek Cypriots and Turkish Cypriots under a common state so that they can have a common voice as just Cypriots. For The World, I'm Lydia Emanoulidou. From PRX.